Blog Talk Radio.
People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Good evening, and welcome to Erie House Radio. Absolutely, good old Bob. There is nothing like the 1951 version. There should be no remakes of They, the Earth Stood Still, which, by the way, 4 years ago this weekend, we did a drive-in version of The Day the Earth Stood Still with Michael Rennie.
Yes.
Yep.
And Patricia Neal?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
It was.
Yeah, she
so
was in
are
that
you
one,
gonna finish the? So are you going to introduce yourself or what?
I could.
Yes.
You start. Why not?
Well, I will start first, since I'm always at the ready. Greetings and felicitations to you all to Erie House Radio. I am the convivial assistant to the assistant to the assistant somewhere down the line in the food chain. This is CW wishing you Klaatu Barata Nikto.
Since I'm the pickle in the middle, I'm Dave from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And last but certainly not least tonight.
Blah, blah. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, I'm really not ready. Nah, it's Dale K. From Spook Show and Erie House, which is where we are right now. It's time for another alien visitation tonight. And we got a goodie from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Yeah, we got to thinking about The Day the Earth Stood Still. Of course, we did the soundbite yesterday and chatting with good old Bob about that movie. Absolutely. 1951 or nothing. I do not like the Keanu Reeves version. Blah.
Blah. I did not see it. I did not see
Don't.
It.
Don't.
Yeah, I did see it, and quite frankly, it wasn't awful, but it still does not hold to a candle. Must agree with good old Bob. The first one is still hand over fist, the better of the lot.
Well, from what I saw, there was a lot of destruction in that and such, and that's exactly what the Day the Earth Stood Still was against.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. He told them that if we didn't change our ways, our planet would turn into a burned out cinder.
Yeah.
So he wasn't playing around. He just didn't.
Right.
Break anything.
I mean, his way to prove it was to have some kind of thing the whole world could see without actually anybody getting harmed by it.
Well,
and
that's what he did in the original, if you recall.
In the original.
The one
so what,
scientist
what,
he met yeah. said, just keep the hospitals on, please, you know, and planes in flight,
yeah.
don't shut them off. And that's what he did. It was a peaceful
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
A peaceful spanking.
An ethical hacker, if you will, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you know, like me. An
oh,
ethical
no.
hacker. I'm just taking KFC's Wi-Fi for ethical reasons. Ethical.
Wow.
I don't need their food.
That is an awesome analogy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank
Boy,
you,
and I thought
you.
I could segue. That was amazing.
I don't feel like I don't feel I can go to KFC now anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, I can.
Oh, yeah. Well,
extra
then you'll just
crispy.
Have to just go to Popeyes then.
There you go.
Yeah, their Wi-Fi isn't that great.
Do they still have
Who's
Mr.
That,
Chicken?
Popeyes?
I don't know.
Yeah, we
and
still got.
Have,
Mr. Chicken, yeah. It's all about the chicken there.
You still have Kenny Rogers?
Got one in Twinsburg.
Oh, you still have a Kenny Rogers. Really?
Yeah, well, I think
they put him
in the chicken.
Yeah,
oh.
might have. Yeah, did Kenny Rogers had his own restaurant?
Oh, yeah, he had a chain of chicken restaurants.
Really? I did not know that.
Well,
I did not know that either.
Was it like Roy Rogers where they just paid him to use his name and likeness?
Probably both in the beginning. Roy Rogers had a hand in it, and later on they just paid him for the name and his likeness. Probably the same thing happened to Kenny Rogers. Of course, I think his went bankrupt
I heard the quality wasn't that good at Kenny Rogers. If you were going to eat there, you're the gambler.
Ouch.
And I renounce my crown as to the Segway champion.
It was a tough fight.
Oh, and a question for good old Bob. I wonder if you ever read, it's online, some wonderful fans of Date Rooster still, it's online, the story called Farewell to the Master, which Date Earth Stood Still was based on, which was written by Harry. I got really ripped off Bates because he, I don't know who his agent or lawyer was, but he got pennies on the dollar for the rights to that story.
I need to get a copy of that story. I'd like to read it.
It's online. Just look, the title is called Farewell to the Master.
Right.
And it makes so much sense in the way that Klaatu treats Gort in the first movie. It makes that more of a, not so much as a symbiotic relationship, but I won't read the story. It's really cool.
By the way, CW, you did suggest a female science fiction writer and showed us a story, and I actually, when I listened to it again, I did hear it before. I didn't realize that's who it was from. So we did build up a weekend of science fiction stories with that story being featured on a Saturday night.
Who won the world, girls? Who won the world, girls? Rah, rah, rah. Yes. Note my
that's
sleeve
awesome.
And my fist. I'm Rosie the Riveting. In cyberspace. Yeah, but I got my stance there. Got my stance right here. Oh, yeah. Yes. But, I James Tiptree Jr., and I'm ashamed to say I only remember her pen name. I don't know why I keep blanking out on her last name. First name was Alice. But she was a fabulous writer. And, again, the reason she used a guy's name is because for some reason, they were of the opinion that, geez, I don't
stigma.
Think girls can, yeah, girls can't write science fiction.
Yep. Well, it was a stigma that, fortunately, since then is going away. And what is coming is our show tonight, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Oh, I got a good one with John Beale, John Lithgow. And it's called Alien Presence. Mm. It's like a Christmas story, right?
No.
No?
Presence is in, presence, not presence is with a T, a presence with a C.
Presence is in Here I Am.
I see. Yeah. That's different.
And I take it, this must have been way before Third Rock from the Sun.
Way before Third Rock. Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah. In fact, do we have an original broadcast date?
In fact, we do. It is from November 27th of 1978.
I'm just here for some wisdom.
All right, let me check my wisdom book. See what we can find.
Yeah.
Go
we'll
radio.
Back.
What?
Looks to me like a fantastic buy.
I wanted important wisdom.
This is important. Listen, newspaper cost per thousand is up 99% since 1967. TV is up 90%.
Sure.
But radio cost is only up 38%.
38%.
And it says radio's audience is bigger than ever.
But what about happiness and stuff?
Use radio. It's great impact at a price you can still afford, and you'll be very happy.
That's it?
Yeah. And when you go out, close the door real tight, because it's cold in here, and I got a runny nose. Hurt.
Next time you're talking to an authority on advertising, ask about radio. It's right on the button. A message from the Radio Advertising Bureau.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. In the night skies, strange objects roam, many of them unidentified. Do you ever look to that darkling bowl of the sky, pierced only by the stars, and wonder if strangers come to us from out there? And if so, how many of them are among us already? Aliens, unrecognized. Are they friend or foe? Terrorist or goodwill ambassador? Always supposing they are there, I wonder sometimes, as I am sure the rest of you do.
I told you, Moses, you would be part of the whole.
And my father?
He will not need you much longer.
I have to stay with him to the end.
So be it. You have chosen your own destiny. You have selected your own living death.
Our mystery drama, Alien Presences, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars John Beale and Joan Shea. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Whatever kind of shirt you're into, get into an Arrow.
Jim, that's a fantastic wool shirt.
Oh, thanks. It's an Arrow.
An Arrow?
Hmm.
Whatever kind of shirt you want, Arrow's got it.
I love that turtleneck Hank's wearing. I bought it for him. It's an Arrow.
Whatever kind of shirt you're into, get into an Arrow.
Shirts, things are changing, but men are still changing into Arrow. Arrow gives you every style and all the confidence you expect from an Arrow.
That shirt looks great with your suit.
Sure.
It's an Arrow.
Whatever kind of shirt you're into, get into an Arrow. Whatever kind of shirt you want, Arrow's got it.
Arrow makes all kinds of shirts for all kinds of men. That's why we're known as America's Shirt Maker.
I'm Chuck Shaden, Vice President here at Northwest Federal Savings. You know, one of the many things that attracts people to Northwest is time. Time enough to do your banking without rushing. But let's see if we can learn more.
The thing I like best is that I can come here and get a lot of services. I'm here to get some copies made of things. I can pick up light bulbs here, do it all in one stop. That's the main thing that attracts me to it.
Do you find our hours important to you?
The hours are very convenient for me, yes. I find it very much better than... I also have a savings account at a bank, but I find it much easier to come here.
You just heard some of the reasons why people like Northwest Federal Savings. If you're not getting that kind of convenience from your bank, it's time to sing a different tune.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63
hours a week. August 14th, 1958. Antelope Crossings, Nebraska. This is the story of today. But it began 21 years ago. You never heard of Antelope Crossings? That's not at all surprising. The population maybe is 105, including children. It's a post office, general store, and not even one street. It's just where two roads meet and leave again.
Now that we're leaving, Jim, I kind of hate to go.
I don't know how you feel, Ruth. No matter how barren it is, a person puts down roots. But we're lucky to get away.
I reckon. Never could make much of a go of it here. Think it'll be better in Nebraska.
I know it will. My brother Ace's farm's a real big spread. We can start to live like people there. Get you some fancy duds and all, maybe even a TV set. Like I say, we're some lucky.
Oh, don't say that. We wouldn't be if that terrible car accident hadn't snuffed out Asa and Sarah and both their children like they was candles.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
He should have taken us. We have nothing, not even children.
I guess the Lord knows best.
Oh, you think we should travel in weather like this?
If anything happens, we'll be together. And bad weather or not, I got a feeling we're headed for a whole new life. Like you can't believe.
Funny. If I'm honest, that's just how I feel. Radio jam.
Listen for yourself, woman.
Maybe we should have stayed over till tomorrow.
And miss the services? With me, the sole heir, and us, the only family? You know that don't make sense, Ruth.
I reckon. Funny. Think of us chunking along in this old car with the trailer behind us, and everything we have in the whole wide world is here.
Maybe after all these years... I can give you the life I always wanted to give you.
You always given me anything I wanted or needed, Jim Harden, except...
excepting a child.
I didn't mean it that way. It's my fault as much as yours.
If we had money enough, we just might be able to find a way.
You hush up now. We just better put our trust in prayer.
It's a little late in life for us, Ruth, to have any prayers answered. We gotta be practical.
What's that, Jim?
Where?
Oh, off there to your left. He's coming right at us. We just stop the car. Oh, what is this?
Well, I don't know. Maybe one of them big jet planes.
It can't be. They always fly so high and straight. Look at this one. Why, it's spinning like some child on top and spitting fire all around like a pinwheel. Well, what do you think it is?
Looks like one of them unidentified objects.
Oh, it's heading straight for us. Maybe a punishment.
Punishment for what?
A question of the Lord's will.
Sure, it's headed straight for us. Look out. Look. Went right over us and crashed down there in the ravine.
Oh.
Come on, let's go see if we can help. If we hadn't been here to track it, like nobody never have seen it.
Oh, this sure is wilderness. And whatever crashed it, pretty near burned to a crisp already. Oh, Jim, we better see if we can help.
I don't see how nobody could have lived through it.
Well, it's only Christian to make sure.
Of course. Come on.
What do you suppose it could have been? A big jumbo jet?
Looking down on it from here, I don't think so. There's no path cut through the trees.
Oh.
It's just like a draft, like a helicopter or a stone.
Don't get too close, Jim.
Oh, she's burned herself out by now. Funny.
What?
She must have had radio contact with the ground, big aircraft like that. There ought to be all sorts of rescue planes, whirlybirds here by now. But the sky's plumb empty of everything.
Surely they'll be here. You think anyone's alive?
Not unless they were thrown clear. In the hour or so it took us to get down here, this must have been just plain hell. Everything's burned to a crisp.
Well, we still ought to take a look.
Oh, we sure will, Ruth. Just as soon as it cools off.
Well, what is it?
I still don't know. Couldn't be one of our regular aircraft. All I can figure, it must be something from another...
What was that?
Some animal, maybe.
No. It sounded like a baby crying. That's what it is. But where, Jim, where... It echoes so here.
This way, I think. Come on.
Oh, maybe someone did survive the crash.
Well, if they did, we're about to find out.
There. That juniper bush. Oh, good, Jim. It's so hot there.
Okay, woman. I got him. Or her, whatever it is.
Oh, bring him quickly to the stream. Hurry. Oh, may the good Lord let him not be hurt or burned. Hush, little boy. Hush. It's all right. No need to cry anymore.
Is he burned?
No. Oh, Jim, it's a miracle.
What's he crying for?
His mother. For being alone. Oh, Jim. Jim.
What is it, darling?
Do you suppose maybe we could keep him?
What?
Keep the baby.
Oh, how could we?
We found him. And you said yourself nobody else could have gotten out of that crash alive.
Oh, Ruth, that don't mean this baby hasn't got other kids. There's bound to be some other people in his family.
Well, suppose they don't want him.
Well, that's something we can't decide.
And just suppose there isn't anyone else in his family.
Well, there's really no way of checking that out unless we take him to the authorities, get him identified.
Authorities? Well, let's even suppose they do identify him and he has no kin. Then what?
Oh, I guess it... That'd be put in some sort of home for adoption.
Then what chance would we have to do that?
Well, I reckon from here on in we'd have enough money to...
It isn't money, Jim. They'd say we were too old. Don't you see? This is a gift from God, meant to be. This is our baby.
Now, hold on, honey. We can't figure that way. Someone else could be hankering over this baby and feeling just as deep as you do about him.
I still say God sent him to us.
Well, it could be. But we got no right to play God.
You don't want him?
Oh, of course I do. Just as much as you do, but...
Then here's what we should do, Jim. Now, you take me to a motel or a hotel. Get me some things I'll need for the baby. And then you go off to the funeral.
Ruth, you can't keep that baby. Not without letting the police know what's happened.
How do we know what's happened? How do we know this baby had anything to do with the aircraft that crashed? But let that go for the moment. All I'm asking for, Jim, is a little time.
Time for what?
To listen to the radio, the TV, watch the papers. Find out if anyone is looking for the baby.
And if you do?
Well, I'll return him, of course. If he belongs with someone else, that's where he should be.
And if there's no news about him?
Then I want to keep him for my... For our own, Jim.
I don't know what to say.
That you, Jim?
That's me, Ruth.
Did you get the newspapers?
Yep.
And?
No news in any of them about either the baby or the crash.
I've been listening to the radio and watching TV. There's nothing there either.
Well, it's still kind of early on, you know.
For the newspapers, maybe. But radio and TV?
Nothing at all on either of them yet?
No.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, you're going to get in that car and go to the funeral and leave me here with Moses.
With who?
The boy. I found him like Pharaoh's daughter.
Oh.
But unlike her, I will nurse him for myself.
Well, why don't you both come along with me?
How could you suddenly explain the child? It's better this way, Jim.
All right. I'll be on my way. And I hope when I come back for you, it won't be for you alone. I miss you, Ruth.
And I miss you, Jim.
I bet you didn't much with him to take care of.
The baby? Oh, Jim, don't talk that way. I love him. He's so wonderful. But that wouldn't interfere with you and me ever.
I know. I can't wait to see him myself.
You will. He'll be awake any moment now. But before he does wake up, do you have any news?
No. Asa left us everything free and clear. It's a right good farm. And we can make a good life on it.
That's nice, but I meant about little Moses in there. Jim, are we going to be able to keep him?
Well, I don't know, Ruth. There isn't a sign of anyone looking for him. Not a word on TV, radio, nothing in the papers. Have you seen her anything?
No. And it's been pretty near a whole week now.
We're taking an awful risk, honey. Where did this miracle child come from? Something comes hurtling out of the sky into the wilderness, and every trace of what it was is burned to ashes, along with whoever flew with her or rode in it, excepting just this one baby.
Well, his father or mother took a chance and threw him clear.
But from what? What kind of aircraft can fly the skies today without some record being made of it? Where was it headed? Where did it take off from? Why doesn't someone, somewhere, an individual, a control tower, I don't know what, but why doesn't someone know that that aircraft is missing?
What are you trying to get at, Jim?
I'm just trying to say that, well, the only answer I can come up with is that what we saw crash, and whose ashes are now already buried under the new growth, was something from outer space.
That's where you think our little Moses came from?
Where else?
Well... You come inside to the room with me, Jim.
Now, don't get mad, Ruth.
I'm not mad. I'm just plain soft. I'm not giving him up. Just look, Jim. Just look down at that sweet baby. Try to tell me he's something from outer space. Why, he's the most human thing you ever saw in your life.
You're right, Ruth. Just the kind of boy I've always wanted.
He's ours, Jim. And we're going to bring him up right, with love and tenderness. And we're going to be proud of him. And we're never going to be sorry.
Brave words, Ruth. And perhaps you'll be proven correct. Still, what you're doing is outside the law and may have many unexpected repercussions. You and your husband, Jim, are taking an awesome chance. You have no way of knowing the background of the baby you have called Moses. In this world, or possibly in some other. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
When you're traveling across the country,
got business friends or relatives coming in from out of town, put them up under the sun at a nearby Quality Inn. They'll find a warm welcome waiting and all the comforts Quality Inns are famous for. Make an out-of-towner feel right at home. Call your local Quality Inn or call us toll-free for reservations at the most comfortable place under the sun.
Quality Inn, the most comfortable place under the sun.
Here we go, the most comfortable place in science fiction tonight. Eerie House Radio.
Little baby phone.
This sounds reminiscent of a stranger from a strange planet. Name called something called Krypton. Ring a bell with anybody?
I was thinking, is this the Clark family here?
I didn't think they were that old, though, were they?
They were. I think this couple's younger than the Clarks were.
Really? Okay. The Clarks? No. Well, the Clarks. Well, it depends on which movie version or TV version or comic book version you're going by. But they weren't spring chickens.
Yeah, I thought they were elderly, and these guys are really elderly. So,
I think they were a bit up there. Like us.
They would.
That's not
so funny. We shall see what we shall see. We're just guessing here.
Yeah.
I take it they're, if they mention, they haven't mentioned Smallville, but if they mention something akin to,
comic book writers would be knocking on the door of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Hey, you can't do that!
They're from Middleville.
You can't do that. Stop now!
Yeah.
They're not from Smallville. They're from Medium-Sizedville. How's that?
Oh.
You can't rip us off the money we're ripping us, Schuster and...
And at least they got their credits back. They may not get their money, but at least they got their credit back.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, they got ripped off big.
Gail and I did a lot of interesting things with Superman. There was a big display up in Cleveland, and we went to the neighborhood where the Siegel and Schuster grew up, and just some all kinds. And then the two things with his daughter, and then with just another symposium. We did all kinds of Superman stuff.
Cool.
I remember the outtakes, Dave.
Yeah.
Of people driving by, Spider-Man. And you're like, no, it's Superman.
Yeah, Klaus was, that's Superman, stupid. And so you say, I love Spider-Man. Superman. Yeah.
It's Captain Marvel. It's Captain Marvel.
There you go. What are you gonna do? You can drag them to the comic book store, but I guess you just can't make them read.
Yeah, that's true.
No, can't they at least watch a movie or listen to a radio play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the matter with kids these days?
All kinds of. Yeah, and I keep looking at the Superman. There's a lot, but the problem with Superman stories is. It's even more, most of the stories are longer than it would take two nights to cover. So I'll have to see if I can drag another one out there where it's just a two nights worth.
Ah, yeah.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
That would
yeah.
be fun to do another.
We haven't
Superman
had soup
weekend.
For a while.
Yeah. We haven't.
Did they do, have they done Batman radio plays at all?
There was one we did play. It was a pilot, and Arnold Moss was Batman, by the way, in that.
Shut
and we
up.
We did
really?
Play that
wow.
yeah and we did play that. It was kind of a kid's afternoon show, but it was a pilot and they never bought into it. Now according to Gar, on the regular radio series, the guy went for like 3 years, 5 days a week at least, with doing the Superman, and the only way they could give him a break was by bringing in Batman and Robin to kind of give him a break, as he could go off and they turn into some Batman and Robin stories. So I'll have to work with Gar on that to see if we can get a Batman Robin story in there.
Wasn't that Murder for Profit, the Batman Club, Dave?
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, do you know when that was?
We played that one August 18th of 2017.
Wow. We're getting old.
Well, I know. It was 4 years ago. I can't believe it was 4 years ago we did the Day the Earth Stood Still. It feels like yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's the Day of the Earth
amazing Lux Radio Theater version of it.
Yep.
I think Patricia Neal was in that as well. I know that Michael Rennie was. I think Patricia Neal was as well, wasn't she?
Oh, and
I believe.
Sam Jaffe?
Yep.
I think Sam Jaffe was in there too.
In the radio version?
The radio
he
play?
Was in the movie for sure.
Definitely in the movie, but...
Not sure whether he made the radio play or not. I don't know.
But
I'll have to go back and
good.
Listen to
it,
as we all can do. Going into the archives and listening to all those great shows.
All those great shows.
Yep.
Yes.
Feel we'll free. Wait for you. We'll sit here and wait. No, we won't. We'll move on to part two of Alien Presence from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
You've changed, Bernard. You're not the man I married.
What do you mean, Francie?
Remember the way you were, vulnerable. You made mistakes. But now look, you're confident. Everything you do turns out right. It's that book you sent away for.
It's just a catalog from the Consumer Information Center. It lists more than 200 federal publications you can send for on building, fixing, eating,
buying, selling, working, playing, living.
And more than half of them are free. Yes, Francine, the man you married is gone for good.
All right, Bernard. But would you make just one more mistake for old time's sake?
All right. For you, I'll just replace that window glass like I used to. Whatever you do, learn to do it better. Send for your free catalog. Just write Consumer Catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Francine, send for that publication on first aid.
What was that address?
Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Whatever fears Ruth or her husband Jem or anyone might have had were dispelled in the 21 years that have passed. Moses Harden has been a joy to his adoptive parents, although he never has known that he is not their own. He has been a loving child, a brilliant student, and thoughtful son. Only two things have set him aside. He has always been a grave and very contemplative boy, even withdrawn at times. And starting with kindergarten, his unusual height has set him apart. For Moses Harden, at 21 years old, stands at 7 feet, 6 inches.
I sure do hate to see the fall creeping on so fast.
Well, you used to say it was one of your favorite times of year, Mom.
Well, that's until you went off to college. And now professional basketball. Oh, it's such a long, long season.
You should have to play it. The last months are a grind.
Oh, you know that isn't true. Must be wonderful to be a hero. To be the best at anything.
I don't feel I'm the best. I have certain natural advantages, that's all.
You're a big, big man. Sometimes it's hard for me to see in you that little baby I used to hold over my heart.
Yeah. I'm sorry I turned out to be such a freak.
You're not a freak. You're a very handsome man, all in proportion. The best athlete in the country, and a mind just as special.
Oh, just a little outsized is all.
King-sized, you mean?
Well, the proud mother always overlooks the faults.
The proud mother is grateful for what she's had all these years.
Had?
Oh, you know what I mean. You're all grown up and ready to spread your wings now that you're big basketball star. You don't need us anymore.
I'll always need you and Dad, Mom. You'll never know how much. You're the center of my life, the balance wheel. I can't do without you.
Now, Moses Harden, will you stop it? You're making me cry.
I never would want to do that, Mom.
You never have, that way. I mean, tears of happiness. Happiness I don't deserve. Oh, my dear boy, if you only knew...
I know a lot more than perhaps you think I do, Mom.
Now, what are you trying to... Oh, dear, here comes your father. And I haven't even set the table yet.
Well, there isn't all that much for dinner.
40 years we've been married, and I never once let him come home from the fields without the table being set and ready. Now, you go on, Moses. Go meet him on the porch till I get everything done.
All right, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi there, Big Mo. Where's Mom?
Oh, getting things ready for dinner, I guess. You're a bit early.
Well, I figured with you leaving tonight and all, the crop would take care of itself without any extra help from me. Matter of priorities. Don't get to see all that much of you anymore.
Well, me and Topsy, we went and growed.
You can say that again.
You suppose I'm ever going to stop, Dan?
Oh, we all do, sooner or later. It's just plain human nature.
Human nature.
Well, if Mom's ready in dinner, I guess I better get cleaned up.
Well, she's not ready yet, Dad. Why don't you sit with me here on the porch and have a talk?
Oh, I'm pretty grimy from the field.
Oh, it's good clean dirt. You mind if I want to talk to you?
Well, sure not, boy. What's on your mind?
It's about Mom.
Your mother? What?
Did you know she's hiding something? She's sick somehow.
She told you?
No.
Then how do you know that, Mo?
Well, lots of things I can sense, Dad, without knowing all the way.
Yep, you always did have second sight or something, even when you was a boy. But about your mother, I wouldn't worry. We've talked some about it, but it's nothing. Just an ache or a pain here or there. Get to our age, you're bound to have a few.
When was the last time she saw a doctor?
Well, I don't rightly recall.
I want you to promise me to take her to one tomorrow. Or the first chance you get. And the best.
Mo, I don't know that...
You promise me, Dad. You're scared to death the doctor might find something wrong. And just like Mom.
How do you know?
It doesn't matter. What does is I do know. You promise?
You two are going to spend all night out there on the porch? Jim, you better get cleaned up for dinner.
I'm coming right away, Ruth.
Promise.
I promise, son.
And you let me know right away if it's anything serious.
Well, I'm all set to go stepping. Hey, Big Mo, what's the matter, man? Ain't you never going to get dressed? You and me are last out.
Oh, I didn't notice, Woody. I have some things on my mind.
Sure wasn't on basketball to practice today. The coach eat you out?
No.
Hey, what's with you, man? You still worried about your old lady?
Some.
I thought you told me the Sawbones give her a clean bill of health.
I did. Or at least Dad wrote me he did. Last time I talked to Mom on the phone, she sounded fine.
Well, then what else is eating her?
Nothing new.
Man, where do you go?
Hmm?
Well, you're in another world half of the time. No way to reach you. Like you just wasn't one of us.
I don't mean to seem that way, Woody, but I guess in a sort of a way, I am.
Yeah, I don't dig you.
Well, take my size alone. I can't be like everyone else at 7.5 feet and growing. There practically isn't anyone else my size.
Ah, come on. You live in the basketball world. You're not all that outsized.
It's only part of it.
Well, what's the rest?
Something I can't talk about.
Oh, won't.
You wouldn't understand.
Hey, I better get that. Locker room, Woody Spade.
Hmm?
Long distance. Well, sure. He's right here. M.O.
Yeah?
A long distance call for you.
Who's it?
I guess it's your father.
I'll take it. Hello? Yeah, Dad? Well, what is it? Oh, no. But how... I thought... You said... Well, was it bad? Oh, that's good. I'll catch the next plane home. Oh, forget the season, the games. We'll talk when I get home.
Bad news, huh?
My mom died.
Oh, Big Mo, that's terrible.
It's worse than that. I only had 2 connections with the world. And now one of them's gone. Tell me, Dad. Why didn't you tell me?
Your mother wouldn't let me.
Oh, but she knew as soon as she went to the doctor.
Well, once the tests were in.
And you didn't let me know then?
Well, what could you have done? There wasn't any alternative. It couldn't be operated on. It was only a matter of time.
I could have been back here to spend that time with her.
And give up your career?
Oh, so what do you think a career means next to Mom? The only reason I played basketball is because it was the quickest, surest way of paying you back for all you did for me. And I never really had enough chance to do that for her.
Don't you know that just by being,
You put us both in your debt forever.
Dad, I'm not like other people. I know that. And you know it. And I suppose so did Mother. Isn't it time to tell me who I really am?
I don't know how to answer you, son.
I was adopted. I mean, I'm not really your child or Mom's.
Well, thank God you never asked her that question. I wish it had never been asked at all.
What is it, Dad?
Oh, it's nothing, sir. Just some indigestion.
Oh, that's what Mom said, and I accepted it. Not this time. We're going to get you to a doctor. I know you mean well, Woody, but you can tell Coach I'm just not coming back.
But Moses, man, you got to get with it. They got lawyers from here to Tuesday. No. I know what trouble you're in, but they're going to bust your contract.
I don't care.
Well, the team needs you.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but I need my dad more.
You mean he needs you?
I meant what I said. He's dying. And once he's gone, I'm lost. No way to explain. Thanks for the try, Woody. Don't think too bad of me. You, Coach, any of the fellas. I never really was one of you. I'm somebody who's got to find my own way. Pretty cold for you to be out here on the porch, Dad.
I want to enjoy it while I can.
Second Indian summer. Just the same.
I don't want you worrying about me. This is nothing. The doctor said I'd be back
on
my
feet. You don't have to tell me what the doctor said, Dad.
But I want
to. No, you don't. You want to hide what he said for me. But you can't.
What do you mean?
I don't ask to know what people are thinking. Really thinking. I've always known. Because I can read it like it was written in a book.
You can?
Dad, I know. I'm not really your child. I've read that in yours and Mom's minds all my life. No matter how hard you tried to hide it from me. But I've never been able to sense deep enough is, where did I really come from? Who am I? Why am I so strange?
Oh, I guess we had no right to keep it from you. Just, we didn't understand it all the way ourselves. And the truth was too hard to believe. I'd planned to tell you anyways before I died. And, well, I reckon now's the time.
Dad told me, and now I know why I've never been able to belong. Because this isn't my world. I'm an alien. I lie on my bed, waiting for sleep, which won't come, because I'm afraid. I'm as alone as if I'd crash-landed on Mars. The only one of my kind, condemned to remain a sort of self-imposed pariah for the rest of my life. And then, out of the night, the sky ship came aboard.
Don't be afraid, Moses. We are coming for you. You are not alone. Now you can go back to where you belong.
Is the deep sound of the whirling mechanism a psychic reaction to the truth his father has just told him? Is there really a space voice calling to him? Is Moses Hardin just a freak of nature or a creature from a civilization we can scarcely dream of, let alone imagine? I shall return shortly with Act 3.
I'm chewing gum again. Big deal? It is to me. I had to give up gum because it stuck to my dental work. But with Free Dent Gum from Wrigley's, I can enjoy chewing gum again. It doesn't stick. Fact is, until I found Freedent, I'd forgotten how fresh and clean my mouth and breath could feel anytime. Freedent, in peppermint and spearmint. You'll like it.
Feel free to chew Free Dent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Free Dent gum.
Play the new reading game, Zebra Mystery Puzzlers, the books that let you be the detective. Mystery Puzzlers let you match your skills against the heroines of each novel by hiding the clues in the story on the cover and in four of the eight inside illustrations. Then at the end of the book, there's a page where you can write down your guesses before you cut open the final sealed chapter that holds the answers. You'll recognize Zebra Mystery Puzzlers by the magnifying glass on the cover. Buy them wherever paperbacks are sold.
Volunteers. Call your local Girl Scout Council today.
Girls, that's part of being a girl. Learning to be in a very big world. Learning to care and learning to share. And keeping the answers tomorrow will bring.
I always wanted to join the Girl Scouts.
I was always after the campfire girl myself.
Oh, yeah. Campfire girls. Girl Scouts. Yeah. I didn't want to do a Girl Scouts when I found out I couldn't be an Eagle Scout. So I said, excuse me, like, why? Because you're not a boy.
But you can now.
Oh, yeah.
You're a girl in the Boy Scouts.
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. Yeah.
There was a troop, I think, in Hudson. I think there's a troop in Hudson of Girl Boy Scouts.
Girl Boy Scouts or Boy Girl Scouts. So, what, they got the... I'd like to see those boys go out there and try and sell those cookies.
Well, that only happens on the Brady Bunch.
It was ahead of its time. Ahead of its time.
It was ahead of its time. Yes, it was.
Gosh, I think the extraterrestrials have an excellent system for parenting. Drop the kid down, and then you miss the terrible twos, you miss the teens, and then when the kid's pretty much all sorted out, then you come and collect them.
Yeah, when he's seven foot eight, then you know it's time to go get him.
There, didn't have to touch a diaper. Didn't have to.
Planet Earth, also known
or get that baby yak off your shoulder when you burp them, and that little spew comes out.
Hey, well, what about the commercial before the one from Annie, where they have this puzzle and you read the story, the mystery, and they have a thing where you can take notes, and then they seal the last chapter so you see if you can solve it, and then you can open up the last chapter, see how you did.
Oh.
I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
That is a cool idea.
Yeah. I've never heard of that before until this commercial. So, wow.
Mm. I never
you learn
heard
something
of
new
either.
About something old every day, I'm telling you.
I guess so, my goodness.
Something new about something old. I like that.
Mm. Put that on a T-shirt.
Yes.
Is that Paladin I hear in the background?
Yes,
there?
I hear Paladin.
Yes, that's the old knucklehead. There's like deer or a squirrel looked at him and made faces at him or something. I don't know.
Squirrel. Maybe you got a bear in the backyard.
A bar. No beer.
Bar,
no,
yeah.
No bears, but deers. Many of deers.
Any moose? Any moose?
Deer.
Yeah. Nope, no moose.
Chupacabra, Sasquatch.
Unless elk and moose are there. Oh, could be elk and moose in your backyard, Dale.
Yeah. You
know,
yes.
Elk and moose,
yes.
The law firm.
Elk and moose.
Elk and moose, the law firm. They're everywhere.
Yes. Oh, yes.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere where there's a buck to be had. look for moose and elk. They're everywhere.
Now with offices at the mall. So.
Right by the Orange Julius.
Right by the Orange Julius. Are there malls anymore? There's a few.
We've got one here in Akron, Summit Mall, still left, and Canton has one,
really?
The Belden Village Mall.
Yeah.
The one in Alliance is about to be raised, and I forget what they're going to put in there. We're going to put some other kind of thing in there, but it's not going to be, and it might even be shopping, but it's not going to be a mall anymore. And the Canton Carnation Mall is all but gone. So, Canton's got one. Akron's got one. You have one in Strongsville.
Yes.
And you have one up in Beechwood, the opposite end of Cleveland. I don't know of any other malls in the area.
Yeah, it's a dying
there
dying
is
thing.
One that's interesting. Down in New Philadelphia, it was a dying mall. What they did is they filled it up with stores that aren't generally in a mall. Like they got Dick's, became one of the major tenants, and then they had like a TJ Maxx was one of the major tenants of stuff. So they kind of saved the mall by bringing in stores that are usually not in a mall and brought them all together.
They have to be inventive. They have to, you know, get out of the rut of it. If they want to stay in business, they're going to have to find ways to entice people there.
I don't understand the distrust, the hatred people have of them all of a sudden. I mean, I think they're great. They're climate controlled, and especially in Northeast Ohio here, it's either too hot in the summer or they're too blasted cold and snowy in the winter, and it's all climate controlled.
Yeah,
you know, and plenty of parking. I never understood why all of a sudden everybody turned against malls.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you need something the same day, even the evil empire, better known as Amazon, cannot do a same day, even if you live in an area where you have a warehouse right next to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I did have that happen once from Amazon. It was creepy. It was like same day. They were lurking down the street going,
we have a big Amazon warehouse in Akron here. And matter of fact, it stands, they tore down a mall and put this big giant, they put that big giant Amazon warehouse in here.
Great.
And they're watching you. waiting. Yahoo! Well, we're not going to be waiting any longer for the exciting conclusion of Alien Presence from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Out of the night comes the strange, high whine of the spinning disc from the beyond. Out of the roar and buzz of its revolving mass comes the deep, compelling voice from an alien presence. The words are reassuring, but are they to be believed? And how will Moses Harden react to the voice's offer? Or is this all a dream in the mind of a tortured young man who has lost his mother and is about to lose his father?
You have no place here, Moses. Come home.
I can't.
Why not?
He needs me.
Who?
My father.
What is a father? There is no such thing.
Well, he brought me up. He sacrificed everything for me. He and my mother.
You live in a primitive civilization. Father and mother are outmoded words. You are only a part of the whole. And the whole is the state. The living, come back.
Well, would I be a part of you? Would I stop being different? Would I not feel alone?
I told you, you would be a part of the whole.
And my father?
There is no room for him. He will soon be a non-person.
I have to stay with him to the end. Can't you wait a little? Or come back?
No. You must make your decision now.
I want to be with my own, where I'm not a stranger.
But I cannot leave my father now. He needs me too much.
So be it. You have chosen your own destiny. We cast you out. The world you live in has no place for you. You have selected your own living death.
I'm awake. In the inadequate bed, as all beds are inadequate for my height. I'm in a cold sweat from the dream. Or was it a dream? Have I thrown away my future? Or is it all fantasy? I don't know what I might have expected to waken to the next day, but certainly not the miracle that happened. Dad was feeling very bad that morning, in a lot of pain, and I had brought his breakfast tray downstairs virtually untouched. I was on my way to the kitchen when the convertible drove up, and she got out. She had a cloud of dusty blonde hair, and misty gray eyes. She had all the requisite physical charms, and wonder of wonders, when she uncoiled herself from under the wheel and stood up, she was the first woman I had met in my stratosphere. Her eyes couldn't have been more than an inch below mine. She blew my mind in that one first look. But all she said was...
Excuse me for busting in, Big Mo.
We've met?
No.
I don't even know why I asked her. I couldn't have forgotten you.
I've been wanting to meet you for a long time.
What is it? Press?
I think it's time for us to talk together.
Why? I don't read you.
You mean what I think?
Yes.
You can't, unless I want you to. I'm shielding.
You're what?
Shielding. Don't you do that?
Well, I guess I don't know what you mean.
Ah, now I see. I suspected, but I wasn't sure. You've never met any of us, have you?
Us?
The fugitives. The exorcised. The lost.
I don't quite understand.
Poor boy. You really are lost now. Must have been awful for you. Everybody and his uncle's thoughts rattling and jangling in your head, and you with no way of knowing how to shut them out.
You are for real. You do know.
I promise you I do. I'm lucky to have found you in time.
Well, in time for what?
Before Kalkur got to you and sold you a bill of goods.
Kalkur?
The false ambassador of goodwill who would offer any of us anything within reason to return to Centauri Planet 7.
Well, then he was here. He did come.
What did you say to him?
I turned him down.
Why? Don't you want to go back?
How could I go back to somewhere I never was?
How did you get to Earth?
I don't quite know. My stepfather has told me there was an aircraft crash. The craft was burned to a cinder and buried in the wilderness, but he and Mom found me, just a baby. And because they wanted a child and there seemed to be no one to claim me, they brought me up as their own.
It must have been very difficult for you, Mo.
Oh, not really. There was so much love and so much happiness. The worst were the thoughts. For so long, when I was a kid, I didn't understand that I was so different. I thought everyone knew what everyone else was thinking. Why, it got me in a lot of trouble till I realized that I was the only one who did. Well, that would have been enough to set me apart, but by then, I'd started to grow. When does it stop? I mean, when do we...
We're not all that peculiar, Mo. You might grow a few more inches, but that will be it.
Well, how can you be so sure?
I'll let you judge that for yourself. If you'll allow me to take you to the Heartland...
I can't go anywhere with you. What's your name?
I'll unshield my mind and think of it, so you may read it for yourself.
Andaria. Is that all?
In the world we came from, one name was enough.
I wonder what mine would have been.
It doesn't matter. If you come with me, you shall be anointed and given a new one if you want.
I told you, I can't come with you.
Why not?
I can't leave my father. He's dying.
Bring him with you. We will welcome him in.
He can't be moved.
And I cannot stay. I'm already overdue and they're waiting for me.
Ooh.
My people. Our people.
Oh, don't leave me, Andaria, please.
I must. Walk me to the car.
Where is the Heartland? How do I find it? What is it?
It's the valley where most of our people landed in the Great Migration.
What migration?
Hymenopters came. Came in swarms by the billions, swallowing most of us in clouds of poison gas and striking us down with death rays. We were a peaceful people, without weapons of war, And to save our civilization, we had to scatter all over the universe. Many of us landed here on Earth, our astral fuel exhausted. The bulk of them landed in the Valley of the Heartland.
Before you go, you must tell me how to get there.
I can't, Mo. When you are ready to come, one of us will read the signal and come for you. Goodbye, Mo.
Well, wait a minute, Andaria! Andaria!
Oh, I would have jumped in my own car and followed her, but at that very minute, my father cried out for me, and I went instead to him. He was in pain, and I gave him his medicine. He didn't wake until dinner, but afterwards he perked up some, and we talked long into the night.
I know you've always been special, son, and we had no right to you. I hope you never get punished for whatever wrongs me and your mom did.
You never wronged me, either of you, Dad. You gave me all things that made it possible for me to live in this world. Love, understanding, the only inner peace I ever had.
Why don't you stop agonizing over your height, Mo? There's lots of tall people today, growing bigger all the time.
You don't understand, Dad. I can't shut it out. I know what everyone is thinking. I can feel the hate and the jealousy and the resentment. All the things people try to choke down. But here on the farm, there's such peace. Or has been, except for you and...
You won't have me to worry about much longer. Now, don't feel sad. I'm going to join Ruth. It's you who worries me. What about this fella, Cal Coor, could take you back where you came from? Maybe you should go with him.
Andaria says he's the enemy.
Well, how do you know you can trust her? And you don't even know how to find the valley.
Well, if that's where I belong, I'll find it.
And wherever I am, your mother and I, we'll pray that you do. I love you, son. Good night.
It was the last word he said to me. He died peacefully that night. And now I was completely alone. A stranger in an alien world. It was nearly dawn before I fell asleep. Or was I asleep or awake? When the air was full of a humming noise. And the voice called me out into the night.
Moses! Moses!
Who called me?
It is Cal Coor. I have relented and come to bring you home.
But you are my enemy.
Andaria told you that, but she lied. And she is not for you. She's already promised.
To whom?
To the Force.
Well, who is he?
He is the one who succeeds the Elder when his force is gone.
Well, what is he?
He is nothing. Only an empty title.
Don't listen to him, Moses. He is the center of us. Our leader. The one Cal Coor seeks to destroy.
Leave him alone. Don't trust her.
Don't trust him. Don't go with him, Moses.
He will have no choice. We will take him. Seize him.
Moses, the Force has been lost ever since the migration. But the Elder tells me it could be you. Don't let them take you. Resist.
Drag him to the ship. Don't listen to the woman.
Don't worry, Andaria. I'll fight. I won't lose you.
By the God, he is the Force. Come away from him. Come away. We have no weapons to stand against the Force.
Within 24 hours, Andaria had come back for me. There was no sign of the Hymenopter's attack, save a large burned area in a field near the house, with the tall grass flattened as if by something spinning in a counterclockwise direction. And within a week, Andaria and I had sold the farm and were headed for the Heartland.
Your father was the Force before you. He had long felt our planet was nearing the end of its useful life, and he had gone out to scout the galaxies for a better home for us. Somehow, he was lost and never came back. That's when the Hymenopters dared to attack us.
And you were promised to me.
The day I was born. The same day as you. My father, the Elder, and your father, the Force, made a solemn promise.
Supposing I hadn't turned out to be my father's son?
Oh, don't ask me that. How could I have decided between honor and love?
Fortunately, the decision never had to be made. I love you, Andaria.
As I love you, and am proud of you. For you will lead us back to Alpha Centauri.
No.
And I love pizza.
I have no stomach for war or killing. If the valley, the heartland, is as peaceful as you say, let us stay there and build our own new world. The other is dying. But this one, oh, Andario, once you teach me to live in it at peace, with a little imagination and a lot more determination, what a paradise we can make of it.
Not a bad ambition. One we could all and should share. And perhaps, for all the agonies it can cause, there might be a rebirth of hope if we could all read exactly what is in people's thoughts and what are their desires. Deep in the heart of everyone, surely, the main, the only desire is peace at last. I'll be back shortly.
I like pickles, but they don't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
I like pizza, but it doesn't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
Digel's special combination of antacid and anti-gas ingredients gives you fast, gentle relief from acid indigestion, heartburn, and gas in just minutes.
I like hot dogs, but they don't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
For occasional use, only as directed.
Play the new reading game, Zebra Mystery Puzzlers, the books that let you be the detective. Mystery Puzzlers let you match your skills against the heroines of each novel by hiding the clues in the story on the cover and in four of the eight inside illustrations. Then at the end of the book, there's a page where you can write down your guesses before you cut open the final sealed chapter that holds the answers. You'll recognize Zebra Mystery Puzzlers by the magnifying glass on the cover. Buy them wherever paperbacks are sold.
And now Kava, the smooth coffee that's real coffee, presents Smooth Kava Romance.
Here's to 7 smooth years together, Samantha.
Smooth but dull.
And here's to Kava, the coffee that puts smooth into our life.
Maybe I'll have an affair.
Have a love affair with smooth, rich Kava instant coffee. Kava's 90% acid neutralized. Less acid means Kava is never bitter. Try a cup of Kava. Smooth coffee that's real, real coffee that's smooth. From Borden.
Take your contact. Take it now. Give your code to contact.
I'm going to change your mind about nighttime cold medicine. You see, of all major medicines, only one works up to 12 hours against the cloggy virus symptoms that keep you awake. Only contact. One capsule's release stays with you all through a long night's sleep, no matter what cold virus attack. Only contact.
Give your code to contact.
Take only as directed. No matter what one may think in the cold light of day, the night is the time when the horizons of the mind expand. Listen on a fall evening to the crickets, the birds, and a thousand rustlings of small hidden animal and insect life. A whole myriad of worlds within worlds. Then look up to the stars and the infinity of our universe. You know that somewhere out in the stars, there must be other life. Has got to be. I wonder if it will cross our paths in this century. Our cast included John Beale, Joan Shea, John Lithgow, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Give to the Wreath of Hope. Send your contributions to Bell Federal Savings, Monroe and Clark Street, Chicago 60603. This is CBS News Radio 78.
Look at us world and see how we grow. Just look at us girls, see how we know. And girls have the fun exploring their lives, making new friends and discovering why. Girl Scouts is part of being a girl and learning to be in a very big world. Learning to care and learning to share and seeking the answers tomorrow will bring. Being a Girl Scout means lending a hand.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Mills, also known as Dorothy in the hit Broadway musical The Wiz. Girl Scouts need adult volunteers. Call your local Girl Scout council today.
Girl Scouts is part of being a girl and planning to be in a very big world. Learning to care and learning to share and seeking the answers tomorrow will bring.
Hey, welcome to Erie House Whatever Scouts. Yeah, great story there from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Almost made me cry.
Almost.
What you
know? Oh, wait a minute here.
Is it still there? Is it still there? Yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah. That is some sappy music. Hey, Fogsbean and good old Bob in the chat with us today. I think my buddy Chris is listening in and some others. Thank you for joining us. We got time here for
I didn't even know we were falling apart. Although we have that great story, we still have something we can learn from that story, I believe.
Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. It is true that there's no place like home. That is, if you know where your home really is.
There we go.
There we
off
go.
In a hurry to go home, I guess.
Lesson learned.
That's called a zip scramble, folks. A zip scramble.
Please make sure that your seats are in the upright position on the saucer.
Yes. That was a cool episode of Outer Limits. I forget. Simon Oakland is like this bird-like alien in it.
Yeah. Where they went on this, thought it was like a spaceship ride, but it was a spaceship, yeah.
Yeah, it was a carnival ride, but it... This alien creature like took it over and I don't know, it was a pretty good story. The guy who operated the ride was an actual pilot or something like that at one point.
Yep. Really cool. Yeah, so many of those great Outer Limits stories.
Of course, I'm talking about the old black and white. I got to catch up on some of the 1980s color Outer Limits. Some of them are pretty good.
They're not bad stories, but you know, each and every one of the black and white stories, as Twilight were, they were morality plays, and they always had a lesson to learn after each and every story. And the voice,
just like
the control voice, came in and told something like that, but. The control voice came in at the end and really kind of told you why the story was there, where the new ones really aren't necessarily like that. They have an ending, and it's not that there's some that are very good. I enjoy what Meatloaf was in one, where these guys ended up, they were reenacting Civil War. It was a Civil War reenactment, and this old guy came up with this old flash camera. He flashed it, all of a sudden they were back in there. And Meatloaf was an old Southern general, a commander down there. And It was a darn good story. I really liked it.
I have to look that up.
But it wasn't truly an Outer Limits in a way, even though Joseph Desvano was one of the quote unquote consultants on it. But
yeah. Yeah. Not the same.
Some of those black and white. Yeah, some of those black and white were actually rather, I don't know, kind of spine tingling.
Yeah, they had elements of horror in them at times, and real good suspenseful music, and even though much like some of the monsters were absolutely horrible. I mean, they really weren't that good, but others were. Like the Xantes were pretty good on the close-ups where they did the animation. I think Jim Danforth did the animation. I know he did some animation for Outer Limits.
Okay, that may have been it, because
some of the Xante ants were animated. Some of them were, and the long shots were just,
I don't understand any of those things. You know, all they needed to do was just go to June Cleaver's house, and I'm sure she kept a canister of Black Flag under the sink, and she could have taken care of it all herself.
There you go.
June Cleaver was ready for just about anything. Just about anything,
Then there's that guy who needed the Black Flag because he was drinking something
Take
else.
Take me aside to Jack's food!
There's that guy.
He had
a problem with big bugs.
Oh, yeah.
he was seeing big bugs before the invasion, but...
Yeah. He was.
Olin Howland. Olin Howland. That's his claim to fame. That and being the first victim of the blob. That same guy was the first victim of the blob.
Oh, shoot. Steve McQueen's version of the blob?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You're right.
Olin Howland, the Make Me a Sergeant, Charge of the Booze guy, was the first victim in the blob.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, when you said that, I was thinking of the guy who was Arnold Ziffel's father.
Kind of looks like him a little bit. The resemblance is amazing.
And I just think I damaged Dave over there.
Good work.
Yeah. Well, my work is done for today, I guess.
Well done.
Nah, we got some extra time here. We should be doing something with it.
We weren't.
we were blathering on, but
blather.
Well, we have jukebox there. We have wheel. We have jukebox. We have all kinds of fun.
Since we got time, I vote wheel.
Wheel.
You vote
wheel. Spin the wheel. Spin. Win.
If there's time, we'll do a tune too. What the hell?
Why not? Go ahead, CW. Why don't you step up to that wheel there?
I'm right here, as a matter of fact. And here we go. Spin to win.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
I wonder where it's going to stop.
Ah.
Hello, anybody. Here's Morgan. Now, that's interesting. Some real live people applauded. Human beings. Maybe a bit later on, some real live people will laugh at something. And that'll be strange. It's been a long time since living people have laughed at anything. The laughter often comes from a tape. Now, this may be hard to believe, but the comedy shows on television, many of them, are written down on paper first. Writers are paid a lot of money to think of what funny thing Laverne's going to say next. Then when the camera's pointed at her, she reads the line off a piece of cardboard. This is followed by laughter. Now, On most TV programs, there's nobody there to do the laughing, even though the writer also wrote down laughter. So they play a tape of people who once laughed, sometime years ago. We'll play a laugh tape and show you how it goes. Suppose the writer of the script wrote a line of dialogue, and after it he wrote, small laugh. They play a small laugh. The next line the writer thought should have a bigger laugh, so they played that. Maybe he wrote applause. Or applause and whistles. Or pandemonium. What bothers me is that these tapes were made so long ago that a lot of the people whose laughter is on them are dead. A lot of dead people are laughing at Welcome Back, Kotter. So we won't use tapes. If we do a line and nobody laughs, you'll know that that silence comes from real live people. Thank you. We'll be right back after this.
Here's a happy tune you'll love to croon. They call it Sam's Song. It's catchy as can be, the melody. They call it Sam's Song. Nothing on your mind, and then you find you're humming Sam's Song. Why, it makes you grin. Gets under your skin, as only a song can do. The people that you meet out on the street, all whistling Sam's Song. Everyone you see will soon agree that it's a grand song. So forget your troubles and wear a smile. You'll find you'll never go wrong if you learn to groove this happy tune. They call it Sam's Song.
And now another treatment, this classic American theme, brought to you by Mr. Gary Crosby.
Here's a happy tune.
That'll bring you a smile all the while. When you croon it, you're really in style.
And the title is Sam's Song. Catchy as can be,
with a sly little beat and the melody sweet, keeps you tapping your feet.
And the title is Sam's Song. Now nothing on your mind,
but the news of the day and the bills you must pay. Keep your hair turning gray, but you're still humming Sam's Song.
Are you all right? How's your break?
Why, it makes you grin, gets under your skin, as only a song can do.
Who the people that you meet?
Hello, Joe, what you know, and remind me to mow. Tell them business is slow, but I'm whistling Sam's Song.
Everyone you see
has a story to tell or a gimmick to sell, but agree that it's well and it's really a grand song.
So forget your troubles and wear a smile. You'll find you'll never go wrong if you learn to croon like a lark in the park who is making his mark, serenading the dark with a chorus of Sam's Song. If you learn to croon the happy tune, they call it Sam's Song.
Bing and Gary Crosby with Sam's Song. And we got time probably for one more tune. Let me sneak one on here, and we'll have time to chit-chat. Here we go.
The last week of July, 1950, counting down to record number 9.
Neath the stars above, he was the sweetest man you ever did see. When he held me in his arms and told me of my many charms, he kissed me while the fiddle played the Bonaparte retreat. All the world was bright when he held me on that night, and I heard him say, please
told me of my many charms. He kissed me while the fiddles played the Bonaparte tree. While the fiddles played the Bonaparte retreat, all the world was bright when he held me on that night, and I heard him say, please don't you go away. He's gone, and I'll admit I knew that I had met my Waterloo. I knew that he would say adieu with Bonaparte retreat.
There we go, K-Star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Dale, what's next week on Airy House Radio?
Provided I don't have a stroke. That's it. I've taken enough. I'm getting even. We're getting even. Vengeance, saith Airy House. That's right. It's all about getting even or vengeance of the sorts. We've got Theater 5, Hermit's Cave. Oh, good. It's been a while for the old Hermit.
Yeah.
And yep. Crisis. That's on Saturday. And, no, that's, excuse me, that's on Friday. Friday, Friday the 23rd. Yep. Saturday, 1 week from tonight, it's almost even, Steven. Inner Sanctum and the Green Hornet.
Ooh.
There you go.
That sounds like fun. Maybe. I think I'll be here.
I would
hope. I think I'll tag along, too. I think I'll hang out as well.
Hope Alice Cooper was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Hope he gave a great show. Did he bring his snake?
I don't know. Does he still do the snake business?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or the electrical chair on stage.
Don't know.
Mm.
But in about 2 minutes and 10 seconds or so, you can get on. Our show will be done, and you can get on over to them their Twitches and check out Horrible Horror, starring...
Gardegul.
Got stuck. Blah, 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 blah.
I didn't know how long I could hold that.
So Fogland did not see a snake, everything else, Frankenstein, guillotine, dead babies, all the fun stuff.
Good.
And top hats.
Yeah, I'm thinking, there you go. Yeah, maybe Peter got on him about the snake.
Yeah, I was thinking. Could you imagine how Ozzy Osbourne has it?
Oh, yeah. The bat incident, or the alleged bat incident, rather.
Yeah.
Alleged? It's not true?
That's fake news.
You get so many different stories about it. Someone threw something on stage or what have you.
Yeah.
Who knows, unless you were actually there when it occurred. And then you probably still didn't know what was going on.
Well, do we have our standard closing, or do we have that?
We really have our...
You had there. Yep.
We kind of lost time there on the neat one.
Okay.
So let's go standard... if you would, sir, Mr. Vincenzo.
Castle lights are growing dim.
Better not forget.
There's no one left but me
and him.
Here.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Close the door. On your way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Darn near perfect.
Almost.
Very
darn,
nice.
Darn near perfect.
Pretty good. Pretty
hey,
good.
Hey, fun show, guys. Fun show, guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Very nice show. I like that. I had no idea, after all the static I've heard about Bing and his first marriage with his first group of children, he and any of his sons ever sang together. I'm shocked.
You know, I've read and watched a lot about that. It's just that Bing was never a warm and fuzzy person on the outside. He did as much as he could to help his kids. And he even helped promote it. You know, the twins had their own little rock group for a while, and he even brought them onto television upon occasion and stuff. So he did what he could.
Is this from the first
Gary,
marriage or the second marriage?
That's from the first marriage. That's from the first marriage.
Okay.
So it's not like he completely abandoned them, but it's hard to grow up in the shadow of somebody who was, you know, star of movies, radio, and then television. And he didn't even really like television. And you know what? He's the one that really developed, pushed ahead and had the companies that developed not only the audio tape, which ended up taking over for, you know, recording in the 50s of television, of radio shows. He was also really in the forefront of videotaping for TV shows and finally sold off. But man, he, I mean, this guy did not need to work. And then he turned around and became a producer, and he produced at least Hogan's Heroes, if nothing else. And
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is interesting. The last role he could have had that he turned mm-hmm. down, he was originally asked to play Columbo.
Oh, really?
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, no, he was. And he turned it down basically because he knew it would be one of his last roles, even though it was a series of movies, because they were it was part of a 2-hour wheel that went on once every 4 weeks.
Yeah.
He had four different shows in the wheel. Mm-hmm. And he did not want to be remembered in his last role as being a terrible dresser. And that was the role that they had written for that. Honest to God, that's the reason he turned it down.
Oh, my God. Because he didn't get off on that grubby little trench coat?
Yeah, he wouldn't, you know, and he just did not want to. You know what? I could have seen Bing playing that. Not as much as, completely different, but I could see him doing a good job being Columbo and reserved and trying to confuse everybody, especially being a little older at that point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I could see that.
It could happen.
I suppose he could have. I'm remembering that movie he did, The Farmer. No, was it The Farmer's Daughter?
The Farmer's
Daughter.
Where he's just
the cover. Not The Farmer's Daughter.
Different movie.
The Farmer's Daughter. Yeah, that was the sequel.
Yeah.
but yeah.
You know what's he was. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I suppose I could see him doing Columbo.
Well,
but
and you know what's funny is actually I think his last film role was he played the drunken doctor on the remake of Stagecoach.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was
and yet he was worried
Margaret,
about playing Columbo? Yeah. You know, that didn't make any sense to me.
And that doctor was not exactly a fashion plate.
He was not. He was not.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and he's trying to sober up to deliver. Yeah, he's trying to sober up to deliver a baby. And he has Anne Margaret's character, who is a saloon girl, a soiled dove, as they called them back in the elder days. He's drinking coffee with salt, and he scoops this huge handful of salt into the coffee and wolfs it all down, and he's running out back and... finally steadies his nerves and does his doctoring. That doesn't make any sense. He'd do that role. Full movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there probably was something behind the scenes we haven't been
told.
That's what I'm thinking.
There's more to this story.
Yeah, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Something.
Speaking of Columbo, I recently saw on, I think it's YouTube, it's old enough to be on YouTube, the thing Peter Falk was in. I think he won an Emmy for it, I don't know if it was a TV movie or, but he won an award for it. It's called The Price of Tomatoes.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful movie. The premise is he's a truck driver trying to pay off his truck. He's a hauler for a company, and his load is tomatoes. And he comes across this woman who's in a situation, and she's pregnant. She's alone. He tries to help her, and he's just complaining all the way. And, it's just... It's really beautifully done. He helps her out, but it's called The Price of Tomatoes, and it's really a wonderful, wonderfully done movie.
He was in one musical and had to sing one song. He was so nervous because he wasn't a singer, and I thought he did excellent in it. He was in Robin in the Seven Hoods. And that was a musical for the Rat Pack, and I think that role that he played was originally written for Joey Bishop, because I could see Joey Bishop doing that role very, very well. But Joey Bishop had the big fallout with the Rat Pack that he never ever discussed, and he was out, and Peter Falk rolled into that role, and. He did a wonderful job, but I really feel that that was written for Joey Bishop. Son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
He did something wrong.
I wonder what it is. Did Joey Bishop ever do a biography? I have to look that up. He must have said something. There's got to be something online. He must have spilled the tea somewhere. He had to spill the tea.
I do not see where he ever did, but he may have. But I would think that it's finally out. Why he left the Rat Pack? Because they're all gone now, all of them.
Yeah.
He should have had a note there to be opened upon everyone's death,
Death.
Yeah. What really happened?
Listen, they've all kicked off. Now I get my revenge. So just sit back, relax, and just read this and have a good laugh or a cry, as the case may be.
Yeah. Weird.
Yep.
Weird.
Now I'm intrigued. I shall have to hunt the jungles of the internet.
The jungles. The deep, dark jungles.
Yes, I hear the cyber
dark
drum
internet.
Beating. Yes. Deepest, darkest internet. Well, not the deepest, darkest internet. Ew. Don't want to go there. Yucky.
No.
No. But the... slightly shades of gray internet, if you will.
There you go.
Yes, now I'm intrigued. Somebody had to know. Maybe Shirley MacLaine wrote it down. She used to hang with them for a while, or Rita Lee.
She did.
She used to hang. She did. Yeah, Rita Lee.
After he was dead?
As well. I don't know about that. Shirley. Yeah, but she was
stop calling me Shirley. Yes.
Ocean's 11 movie. She had that small role in there, and there was Rita Lee hung out with them as well. So I don't know.
The original
somebody.
Rat Pack. And here's a surprise. The original Rat Pack. You know who one of the regulars was?
Peter Lawford.
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland. Oh.
Judy Garland, what? Believe it or not.
Seriously?
Yep. Seriously.
She was a Rat Pactress?
She was, but she either got busy or had to go take some prescription drugs or something. I don't know. She did not stay with it. But, you know, when they started getting together and playing cards all night and things like that, she was one of the participants. So.
Wow. Well, that and the fact she was the one of the Rat Pack who was the one who had babies. They had children, but the wives did all the work.
Right. You're right. Yeah. That's another thing that could have slowed it down a little, yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder if that would make sense because I remember before...
I hear that baby-having thing. Not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that... never leave a machete near a woman going in labor. Have the atomic football.
I attended two C-sections. You don't have to tell me anymore.
I feel the need for epidural myself right now after hearing that.
It was.
Yep. Yep.
Colorful.
I was there for two, but it wasn't it wasn't a C-section, so.
Yeah. Well, that's
there,
like,
C-section,
you know, the guys,
I would be afraid of what would pop out, you know, after watching the baseball. So pop out.
Oh God.
Alien.
I'm gonna eat your soul. Ah. Horrible.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But that's really a wonderful thing. Thank you for sharing that information. Nice to know those guys weren't so all macho, hanging out with themselves. Liza Minnelli's mom there at Caesar. She hung out with him. Of course, she had a wonderful, booming, lovely voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a special that's on YouTube. Yeah, if it hasn't shown, I'm a YouTube junkie. I am. I admit it. I own up to it.
There's good stuff in there.
Yeah, but she's there, and her three children are there, Liza Minnelli, Lorna Luft, and her son, Michael. I can't remember his last name.
In that Christmas special?
Yeah, and she's singing this sad song. You think, oh, my gosh, her heart is breaking and everything else. And then the song is over, and she's perked up and back again. She, wow, she can really sell a song. I mean, you're just like, where's the tissue? Where's that music?
I think I saw it like MeTV had when it first came out, or maybe it was TV Land, one or the other. I think it was TV Land first came out at Christmas time. They had a bunch of Christmas specials, and that was one of them. So, yeah. Mm. Before MeTV, TV Land.
Yeah. My go-to Christmas movie is, of course, The Nightmare Before Christmas now. It's a two-tiered movie. It's good for Halloween, good for Christmas.
True. True.
Mm-hmm.
Best of all worlds.
All-purpose movie. Gentlemen, with that, I must bid you adieu, a wiedersehen, au revoir, ciao, aloha.
Well, then,
if you're going to leave, you know what you have to do.
Without further ado, I present to you the one, the only, the Schnozzle himself, Mr. Durante, is here in the room.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Bunny gets back to go off the stage.
What more is this say? But good night.
Nope.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and
inka-tinka-doo.
Good night.
night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs.
Good night.
Calabash.
Calabash.
Well, Evan.
Well, Evan.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.